وعلى رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So we have finished to the point where Yusuf alayhi salam shows his chastity and refuses the call of the wife of Aziz. And this shows you that Yusuf had perfected both types of beauty, the outer beauty and the inner beauty. Yusuf had the outer beauty, in other words he had been given half of beauty that was known to man. And he also had an inner beauty, which is shown here, the inner beauty of being chaste, of having iman. So he has both types of beauty blessed with him, that he refused the plots of the wife of Aziz. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, we already recited these verses, so we won't recite them now. The women of the city says that the wife of Aziz seeks to تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, she seeks to seduce her slave to herself. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا, that verily she has loved him an extreme love. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, we see her to be unclear and manifest error. Therefore the plot of the husband was unsuccessful. The news spread, even though he didn't want it to spread. And the news spread amongst the city. نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, it shows you that in general gossip is spread more by women than men, as is well known. And it is shown here also the niswa in the city are spreading this type of gossip, they're talking more about it. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا, the word shaghaf, it means that the love has reached the depths of the heart. It is the highest level of sexual love. And there's other types of love which are non-sexual, which are higher than that, like khulla, which is khalil. That's higher than that. But the word shaghaf is the highest type of love, which is sexual in nature. So they are saying that she has this type of love for her. Here Ibn al-Qayyim, a very interesting point here, Ibn al-Qayyim extracts from this verse 10 different ways that the women of the city blamed the wife of Aziz. The women of the city talked bad about the wife of Aziz. The first way is they said, Imra'atul Aziz. So they called her by a title and not by her name. So they didn't even mention her name, as if showing her contempt and disrespect. The second way is the title that they used was not just any title, Imra'atul Aziz, reminding themselves and her that she is the wife of Aziz, one who is respected, the minister's wife, not just any wife. The third way that they showed disrespect or showed that they blamed her was that they said that Fataha, that he is a slave. He is a slave. And the fourth way, her own slave, Shafataha. So not only is he any slave, it's her own slave, which should be the least way of temptation. In other words, you should not be attracted to your own slave. How can you be attracted to your own slave? So the fact that he's a slave, and like we said in general in the past, the free men and women were absolutely distinct and separate from the slave men and women. There would not be a type of intermingling or attraction in general, because they are contemptuous, looked down upon. People don't look up to slaves. So men in general are not even attracted to slave women as for zina. Obviously for purchasing and buying, that's your own slave, that's separate. But for zina, in general, a man, even if he's not pious, a free man, he would think it too demeaning to come to a slave girl for zina. That is why they're saying her own slave, Fataha. The fifth way is they're saying قَدْ شَغَفَهَا. In other words, the level of love is not just any level. It has reached the height of love. The shaghaf, which is the middle of the heart, the depths of the heart. The sixth way is by mentioning that تُرَاوِدُ, she is the one that entices him and not the other way around. Okay? She is the one that entices him. The seventh way is by inferring that he did not respond to her enticements. So he is the one that is better than her. Because the inference is given, because she's tempting him, and they didn't say that she did anything with him. So the fact that she tempted him is implied that he did not listen to that temptation. So this is yet a seventh censure, a seventh blaming of the wife of Aziz, to the wife of Aziz, upon the wife of Aziz, that she is guilty in all of these things. The eighth way is that they have used the present tense, تُرَاوِدُ, in other words, she's still doing it. So they're saying that not only did she do it once, in their eyes, she is still tempting him to this day. Okay? The ninth way, إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا, we are sure we see her. So the fact that they are seeing her in this way, okay? So we are positive, we see her to be. And the tenth way, ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, and basically a clear error and manifest error, and the fact that she has such a strong love for him, and he is so innocent of this crime. Is it working out? Am I thinking? No. Okay, so these are 10 ways that Ibn al-Qayyim extracts from this one verse, showing you how the women of the city censured and blamed and reproached the wife of Aziz. Allah then says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ, when she heard of their plot. interesting, what plots? They didn't do any plots. They were only talking about the love that she had for Yusuf. What plot is here? You see, she is a woman and she knows women's minds. She knows why they are talking about this. She knows they want to see Yusuf. What could have caused the wife of Aziz to fall for a slave? There must be something strange about this person. So Allah calls their talking makr, which means a plot. Because she knows their mentality. She's on the same wavelength. She knows why the women are talking in this manner. They want to see Yusuf. And they can't say that, because that would be, they're accusing themselves that they have a desire for Yusuf. So they talk in this manner, and this shows you the evils of gossip. It shows you the evils of backbiting. It shows you the evils of having a prestigious honor which is based on arrogance and kibir. That how could the wife of Aziz, so now she's miffed. She's like, enraged that they're making fun of me in this manner, and I have to uphold my reputation. All of these evils are shown here. So when she heard their plot and plan, أرسلت إليهن, she invited all of them for a general party, and it can be imagined a woman of her status would frequently invite the ladies to come to her house. So she invited them. And وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً, she prepared a couch for them. In other words, the setting will be a very easy setting, casual setting. So there will be a muttaka, as a place to sit back on, a couch, reclined couch. So they would have prepared the whole room, decorated it, and she gave each one of them a knife, which automatically implies that they already had had dinner, and they had been given the fruits, because the custom, even to this day amongst the Arabs, is that you give for dessert, you give fruits, like an apple or an orange or something of this nature. So it is already implied they had a good meal, they had a nice talk, and so they're all casual, they're not expecting anything. All of this is inferred and implied already without the verse having to say so. And she gave a knife. She gave a knife to them, which means that now they are all full, content, relaxed. They have the apple or the orange in one hand and the knife in the other. And then the ulama, they also say, some of the ulama, they say that she had already prepared Yusuf that day. In a sense, she had, obviously Yusuf did not know what was to happen. She had told Yusuf to dress in a certain manner and whatever, to be prepared to look his best. And then when they least expected it, and they have the knives in their hand, قَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ, she commanded Yusuf to come out. She must have called Yusuf, and Yusuf obviously has no idea what she wants to do. He's probably thinking that she wants me to do something, like a slave should do, a servant or something. So she said, come out to them. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ, when they saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ, they exalted him, they made him very big. They made him, exalted and grand. In other words, they thought him to be of a very high nature and a high, look and handsome. وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ, and in their surprise at his beauty, in their surprise at looking at Yusuf, so unexpected they were, is that the knives went all the way into the fruit and cut their own hands. And this shows you the handsomeness and the jamal of Yusuf. Is that even though they were caught by surprise, but still, to let the knife go all the way and cut your hand is something very extreme. So they testified with their own blood, if you like, to the handsomeness and jamal of Yusuf. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, on top of that they said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ, like subhanallah, there's uttering an amazement, a cry of amazement. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, this cannot be a human being. Look at the way they negated it. This is not a human. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ, rather this is a very, very noble angel, and a handsome angel. And as you know, the angels in general are very handsome, and the shayateen in general are very ugly and evil looking. And this is a general rule. There could be some exceptions, like the angel of the fire of hell. He is very stern and evil looking. Ghilabun shidad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them. But in general, the angels are very handsome looking. That is why when the angel Jibreel would come in the form of man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would come in the form of Dihya, who was a very handsome companion. He would come in that form. So they said, مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا, they negated it immediately. This cannot be a human being. So handsome is he, so beautiful is he. We have not seen this type of beauty existent amongst human beings. Rather, this must be a malaika or something that is more than human. So then she says, قَالَتْ, now she has achieved what she wanted to achieve. They have shown by their tongues and by their blood even that they cannot control themselves. So she is saying, you just saw Yusuf once, and you bled because of this. Imagine I am living with him, and I am seeing him day and night. How can you blame me for this? So she is saying now, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي رُمْتُنَّنِ فِي, this is the one that you talked bad about me. This is the one that you censured and blamed me for. In other words, you yourselves, look at your condition, and you just saw him once. How about me? How can you blame me for doing what I did? فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِ فِي, and now, look at her nature and her unabashedness and unashamedness. She is not even ashamed of what she is about to say. She says, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, that yes, I did tempt him. She admits it. She's not embarrassed. You yourself show that you can't control your emotions. What do you expect me? Yes, I did tempt him. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, and he stopped himself. So in fact, she is praising Yusuf in front of him to them. Is that not only does he have an outer beauty, he has an inner beauty as well. I tempted him and he refused to come to me. Which obviously drives her even more insane and wild. As you know, even the worst and the most evil person, when he wants to, he might, astaghfirullah, do zina all his life. When it comes to marriage though, or when it comes to this nature, now his wife must be an angel. Okay? And this is, astaghfirullah, so common amongst the Muslims, it's very sad. That throughout their life they might be doing evil sins and you know, things that are not even proper for them to do. And then when it comes to marriage though, they want their spouse to be Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. Whereas they themselves were not. So the point is, even though a person might be evil in nature, he is attracted to an inner beauty as well. So when he's going to choose a life partner, he chooses someone who has inner beauty as well. The point is, even though these people are kuffar, she is praising Yusuf by saying that he has an inner beauty, a chastity as well. I tempted him. Not only is he this beautiful, on top of that, he has an inner beauty. He is very chaste, that he prevented himself from fasta'asam. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. Tayyib, so she praises Yusuf. She admits unabashedly, unashamedly of what she did, and now she goes a step further. And she openly challenges Yusuf. And she openly taunts him in front of all of them. وَلَئِن لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ, if he doesn't listen to what I'm commanding him to do, لَيُسْجَنَنَّ, of a surety I will indeed put him in prison. أَوْ لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, or he will be amongst those who are humiliated. Look at the level of unabashedness, shamelessness, licentiousness that she has. In front of all of the women, the noble women of the city, she is openly saying, I will do what I want with this man. And if he doesn't listen to me, I will punish him now. And some of the ulama, they say that in fact, all of the women took Yusuf aside and tried to tempt him in this gathering. All of them wanted him for themselves, but they all agreed that she should, of course, have right over Yusuf because she is the master. So she openly says, now I have the right over him and I will command him to do what I want, and if he doesn't, then he will be punished. Okay? لَيَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, he will be amongst those who are humiliated. This then, Allah, once again, Yusuf subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, قَالَ رَبِّ, he says, my Lord, السِّجْنُ, the prison, is أحب إليه, is more beloved to me, مما يدعونني إليه, to that which they call me. So I would prefer to be in prison rather than do what they are commanding me to do. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ, and if you do not avert from me their plans, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ, I will lean towards them. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and I will be from amongst the jahilin. So here now he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. He realizes that Allah is his only hope against this. A whole room full of women, and not just any women, women of nobility. You can imagine they would be the most beautiful women in the city because of this. So a whole room full of women tempts him and threatens him on top of that. Before, she did not threaten him, right? All of the factors were there, but she didn't threaten. Now the final thing, if you don't listen to me, on top of all of the temptations that are already there, that he is a stranger and he is a slave and he's younger and he's this, there's one more temptation now, that you better do it or else you're going to be punished. This is a threat now. If I can't entice you in any way, let me threaten you by some way to do what I want to do. And not just that, in front of all of the women. I don't care. Let the news be spread. I'm not embarrassed anymore. So you have nothing to use against me now. And if you don't listen to me, I will send you to prison or punish you. So he says, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, that there is no way to change anything, nor is there any power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me. I'd rather go to prison than to go into their desires. So he realizes that to fall into their desires will bring him to a greater prison, will cause him to suffer more than the suffering of the prison. And wallahi, this is the essence of Iman that so few of us have reached. This is the essence of Iman, to prefer the pleasures of the Akhirah over the pleasures of the dunya. To realize that the sins of this dunya only bring a temporary pleasure, a pleasure that is tainted with guilt, a pleasure that is tainted with evil, a pleasure that has very bad side effects. And it is only the worship of Allah that brings about a pure pleasure, the pleasure that the like of which there is no other pleasures, that for which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that there is a Jannah in this world if you don't enter this Jannah, you will not taste the Jannah of the Akhirah. It is this Jannah of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which no one except he who has worshipped Allah realizes the beauty and the sweetness of this worship, such that when another pleasure is presented to him, he can say, "Oh my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than this pleasure that they're offering me to do. Because if I fall into this pleasure of yours, if this pleasure of theirs, then it will bring me the sin of the hereafter, will bring me the prison of the hereafter, which is far worse than the pleasure that I will gain in this world." And he also said, "Mimma yad'unani ilay," what they are calling me to. He didn't even say zina. How evil is zina? He didn't even mention the word. He said, whatever they're calling me to. He's not even going to mention the word here now. Showing you the evil nature and the qubah, or the disgusting nature of zina. And then he makes a plea, which is a heartfelt plea. He doesn't say, "Oh Allah, save me from them." He says, "If you don't save me from them, I will be amongst those who are jahileen." And this is more eloquent than just making a plea. A person is drowning. He says, "If you don't save me, I'm going to drown." This is more eloquent than saying, "I am drowning, help me." Because you are showing the consequences of not obeying him or not listening to his plea. Here Yusuf makes that plea in the form of a dua. He makes a statement in the form of a dua. If you don't respond to my plea, if you don't listen to me, what will happen? Asbu ilayhin. Again, beauty, balagha here. I will incline towards them. Ya subhanAllah. He didn't even say he's going to do anything. I will be inclined towards them. That's all he said. And he didn't even want to be inclined towards them. I will be inclined towards them, and I will be amongst the jahileen. How will he be amongst the ignorant when he is the Prophet of Allah? Because the height of ignorance is to know the truth and not act upon it. To know what is right and wrong, and knowledgeably, willfully turn away from that. That is the height of ignorance. And that is why the Salaf said, everyone who disobeys Allah is a jahil, he is ignorant. Everyone who disobeys Allah is an ignorant person. Not that he doesn't know it's haram and halal, but he preferred the temporary pleasure over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah also says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّؤَ بِجَهَالَةً. That the tawbah, Allah will accept the tawbah of those who did sin upon ignorance. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. And then they commit, or then they perform tawbah immediately after that, عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. What is the meaning of upon ignorance? Some of the people, they read this verse, they think, if I do a mistake and I didn't know it was a sin, I didn't know, for example, that mortgages are haram and then I took a mortgage, this is what the verse is applying to. No. The verse, like the Salaf said, is bijahala, means everyone who disobeys Allah. It's inclusive term. When you disobey Allah, you are a jahil. It's that simple. When are you disobey Allah and we go against the commandment, all of us are juhal. We are ignorant. Because we knew the commandments of Allah and we did not act upon that knowledge. And this is the height of ignorance. And that is why Yusuf says, I will incline towards them, I will lean towards them, and I will be from the jahileen. I will be from amongst those who know that knowledge but do not act upon it. Okay? And that is why, like I said, the Salaf said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلْ. Everyone who disobeys Allah is a jahil. This also shows you that Yusuf had indeed perfected both types of beauty, the outer beauty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he blessed him with, and the inner beauty, that he is preferring the prison over what the women call him to. And once again, the hadith of the seven who will be shaded on the Day of Judgment should come to mind here. That look at the intensity of the plea of the wife of Aziz in front of all of the women. And all the women are tempting him as well, one upon one, individually and collectively. And there's a threat and there is a enticement. Everything is there. Yet he refuses that and he prefers the sijin, or the prison, over the temptations of the wife of Zulaykha and the other women. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. So his Lord responded to him. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds when you turn to him in this nature and situation. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those that have taqwa of Allah, when shaitan touches them with a statement, touches them with a whisper, تَذَكَّرُوا, they remember. In other words, they remember Allah. They turn to Allah. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, so they can see clearly. They know what is right and wrong. So the way of the believer, the mu'min, is not that temptations do not come to him, but that when temptations come to him, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solve himself from that temptation, to get rid of that temptation. And once again, look at Yusuf, how helpless is he? He can't do anything now. But all he can do is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at, you might think it is so weak. Yet because he turned to Allah, Allah lifted him up. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ His Lord responded to him. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted their plotting and planning. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Verily he is the one that hears and he is the one that knows. He is the one that hears the plea of the one who calls out to him. And he knows the situation of the one that calls out to him. When a person calls out to Allah, Allah is aware of how you are calling out, how much sincerity you have. Are you just putting on a show? Or are you half-hearted or weak-minded? Or are you really wanting to be saved from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he is Samir. He hears you and he responds to that. And he is Alim. He knows your situation. He knows why you are turning to him. He knows the state that you are in when you turn to him for dua. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ Then it became, it appeared to them, or it became, it appeared pleasing to them. مِن بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ After they had seen the clear signs. لَيَسْجُنَنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ That they put him in prison for a while. Okay? So it became clear to them, or they thought that it would be best to put him into prison, even though they had seen the clear signs. What clear signs had they seen? They had seen the signs of the innocence of Yusuf. And the beauty, the inner beauty of Yusuf. And that he was absolutely not guilty of any crime. So after these clear signs, the ayat, had been made clear to them, and look again how evil these people are, and obviously they are not even Muslims, they are kuffar, but they are embarrassed about what has occurred. So they think, now why did they put Yusuf in jail? They think that news will spread. Now obviously, remember, the wife of Aziz is not alone now plotting and planning. All of the minister's wives and the major wives of the city are now plotting and planning for and on behalf of the wife of Aziz. They're agreeing with the plot and plan. So they thought, well, now everyone's going to talk about us. The whole society will talk about us. Why don't we put Yusuf in jail and the people will think that Yusuf is the guilty party, حَتَّى حِينَ until people forget about it for a short period of time or for whatever period they wanted to, until the people, forget about this talk. As you know, that the way that mankind is, that a certain issue will come up and for a number of months or weeks or years, people will just talk about this issue. Eventually, everyone's going to get tired and it will be forgotten. Okay? Likewise here, the people must have been talking about Yusuf and what has occurred in the minister's wife's house, and now all of the wives of the city, they must be talking, what is going on? They're all tempting Yusuf, what's wrong with them? So, to get out of the suspicion, to get out of the rumors, let's just throw Yusuf in jail. Everyone will think he's the guilty party, and we'll keep him there for a few years, as long as the rumors and the, these type of rumors are going around. Once again, it shows you the evil nature of rumors, and also the evil nature of a man's prestige, which is not based upon Islam. Because they wanted to save face, they did this to Yusuf. Even though Allah says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ They saw the clear signs, the apparent signs, how innocent Yusuf is. They've seen it. Yet, بَدَى لَهُمْ It became apparent to them, or they thought the best course of action, in order, because they wanted to save their face. They wanted to save their own reputation, that let's throw Yusuf into prison for a short while. But with that, inshallah, we will finish for today, and we will open the floor for questions from the last session and for this session bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And tomorrow I'd like to remind you, we will start 11:30 sharp bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, so that we can finish this surah. We're already a bit delayed because of our delay today, so I remind the brothers if they can start early tomorrow. Subhanakallah wa hamdulillah, la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.